This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Trump administration flying through its key administration picks, 20 names so far, but none yet checked out by the FBI. That's the usual procedure. ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
Even some Republican senators are starting to say they really think that these nominees still need to go through that traditional process, and that that's everyone at the cabinet level, let alone everyone else that might be coming into the White House to some of the lower posts. A lot of senators are starting to raise the alarm that they want them to get the traditional security clearances still, too.
A higher than usual number of rocket attacks from Hezbollah into Israel today, at least 6 people injured. This on the heels of Saturday's Israeli strike in central Beirut, which killed 20 and injured 66 people. Russia is granting debt forgiveness to army recruits to bolster its ranks in Ukraine, where nearly 3 years of war have strained resources and available personnel. Game show host Chuck Woolery, first host of Wheel of Fortune, best known for Love Connection, has died. He was 83. This is ABC News. The woman who helped bail out a folk blues singer who then immortalized her and himself in an 18-minute album cut that became a national sensation has died. ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
Alice Brock died at her home near Provincetown, Massachusetts, according to this singer-songwriter.
Now, it all started two Thanksgivings ago.
Arlo Guthrie from his 1967 album Alice's Restaurant, which became a million-selling phenomenon.
You can get anything you want.
The song and monologue, largely true, was a satire on the Vietnam War draft. Alice Brock, restaurateur, cookbook author, and artist, was 83.
And we're remembering longtime game show host Chuck Woolery. He was the first host of Wheel of Fortune, then went on to be the face of Love Connection and Scrabble. Woolery inducted into the American TV Game Show Hall of Fame in 2007. His friend and podcast host Mark Young saying he died at his home in Texas, wife by his side. Chuck Woolery was 83. Dave Packer, ABC News.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time. Lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along,
right.
We can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like
it's only glass.
Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsinites overwhelmingly voted yes on a record number of school funding measures, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum. That means people across the state are willing to increase their own taxes to fund their schools. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Voters favored a record number, 169 referendums, authorizing a record total of $4.4 billion in new funding for 145 districts. Denise Gomer-Hutchison with the Wisconsin Public Education Network says districts are being forced to take their needs to the ballot box to fund gaps between prioritizing students and overdue bills.
The first responsibility of our public schools across the state is to educate children and to take care of the kids and the families that they serve every single day. So that means any available funds that public schools have, they put towards educating children. And so if that means a boiler has to be patched rather than replaced, that's what they're going to do.
Almost half of the state's 421 school districts passed a referendum in April or November. Hutchison blames the state for not adequately funding school priorities, from building maintenance to student mental health services. Regardless of whether taxpayers have children in public schools, she says the focus should be on providing every Wisconsin student with a quality education.
I want their experience in public schools to be as awesome as my 25 and 26-year-olds were.
The study found factors like inflation outpacing the state allocated per student revenue limits, the loss of pandemic aid, and staff competition in tight labor markets, all factors that contributed to the record number of referendums. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds around the area for today. Light southeast winds and highs will reach the upper 40s. Tonight, we'll see cloudy skies continue, mid-30s. Our winds going around to the northwest. On Monday, mostly cloudy, a little light rain, highs in the lower 40s.
Right now, it's 45 degrees.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, former Wisconsin gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels turns down a Trump cabinet position. Is he lazy or just against divesting? Also, MTG claims subpoena power. Who's she coming after? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel, Civic Media's weekly review and discussion of some of the most significant news stories in the areas of law, government, courts, and the aspiration for justice. And now, here's your host, Jim Santel.
This is Amicus Law Review. My name is Jim Santel, and I'm your host for this, the second hour of our broadcast, talking all about, as we always do, the rule of law and government, courts, due process, all of those good things that our nation is all about. This past Tuesday in Manhattan, some challenges to those fundamental notions when, after anticipating that the presiding judge in that criminal case against Donald Trump, resulting in his conviction by a jury, 34 counts of violations of New York law, fraud in statements, fraud in representations, false statements in connection with his attempt to hide from all of us information that would presumably have been damaging to his 2016 campaign for the presidency. In the wake of all of that, in the wake of a several-week trial involving a jury of actually 14 people, ultimately 12 people deciding the case, court staff, witnesses coming in, judicial staff as well, lawyers, their staff coming in, the sentencing in that case after the return of the jury verdict, finding the defendant guilty of all of those counts, postponed repeatedly by Juan Merchan. Various reasons articulated along the way. And finally landing here in mid to late November, when Juan Merchan promised both a statement, an order, an opinion on the extent to which, if any, the Supreme Court case on immunities affects his capacity to continue to oversee the case and to impose judgment, a sentence upon Donald Trump. A decision that, interestingly, others have not had much difficulty in coming to resolution on. We know that during the course of all these proceedings, Donald Trump at some point asked a federal judge to exercise jurisdiction, basically to remove the case from Judge Juan Merchan's state courthouse and bring it into federal court. And at the time, as we talked here on this broadcast, a federal judge in the Southern District of New York, his name is Judge Alvin Hellerstein, made quick shrift of the decision. And basically he said that the position of the defendant, Donald Trump, and his attorneys trying to get this case into federal court on the basis that somehow it is all about official acts of a president, simply unsupported. And Judge Hellerstein had no difficulty in saying that the request is baseless. He said the actions here, as alleged in the charges in state court, the actions that are now the focus of the confirmed judgment of guilty by this jury were private. They were unofficial acts, have nothing to do with what the Supreme Court said in connection with a president's capacity to commit crimes. He said they're outside of anything contemplated by the Supreme Court. And for that reason, Donald Trump's position in support of getting the case from state to federal court had to be rejected. Mm-hmm. Along the way, again, Judge Hellerstein, finding very quickly, Jess, that there's no there. This is not a difficult issue, again, because of the fact that we have a private person engaging these behaviors, not official acts of a presidency that doesn't exist at the time. And for that reason, making that finding a finding that we anticipated, you and I and others in America, that Judge Merchan would be making maybe with equally short shrift on this past Tuesday, which he did not do.
Well, the thing that just astounds me, Donald Trump was not president.
He wasn't president.
So what is the holdup here in saying, yes, we have a Supreme Court ruling that regardless of that being right or wrong, should not apply.
Just simply doesn't apply. The defined focus of a defendant has got to be a president of the United States of America. That's your point. That is the point that Judge Hellerstein understood. You should be on the federal judiciary yourself, Jess, one day. And you will join Judge Hellerstein in that common sense approach to this. And it really is the position that's been making the rounds inside of legal circles ever since this particular issue came up. Not a close call. Indeed, Alvin Bragg, the DA, has taken the position from the very start that there's nothing about this case that needs to be thwarted, needs to be stopped. He said that the immunity ruling has no bearing on this case. The Trump cover-up of the sex scandal is unrelated to his presidency. And Justice Merchan, again, called a justice in the New York system. Judge Merchan poised to rule on that matter simply and straightforwardly. He decided instead not to do so, surprising everybody, including me. Instead, he has some letters in front of him. Let's talk about what those letters say. In a recent letter to the DA's office, counsel for Donald Trump, as a part of their advocacy, which they should do. They should represent the defendant, Donald Trump, as aggressively and effectively as they possibly can, which plainly they have been doing. Requested the prosecutors proactively move to dismiss the case. They argue that as defense counsel that doing so would avoid, in their words, unconstitutional impediments to President Trump's ability to govern, citing the complex, sensitive, and intensely time-consuming presidential transition process. Now, that may be the case, once again, if we're talking about a sitting president. Right now, yes. Donald Trump, as you just indicated, Jess, as we all know, is a private citizen.
Yes, he is.
And he'll be so by my calculation. I'm not good at math, as you know, but I think it's 58 more days from this weekend on.
Quite nearly two months.
Plenty of time. And this is the point.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of time, not only for Juan Merchan now in the wake of the election. The reason why he postponed this up to this time, did not want to affect the election. You have not done that, Juan Merchan. You have not presumably had an effect. Now you can sentence this defendant, and you can do so while he's a private citizen. For what it is worth, the practical aspects of this, it is not a weeks-long jury trial. Reason to believe that Donald Trump has a residence in New York. You can schedule this on for, say, 3 hours, 4 hours, whatever you want to, maybe a full day, if you need to afford the defendant a right of elocution to tell the judge what he thinks should happen here, give the prosecution an opportunity to argue how the case should be sentenced. You can get this done well within one day, one business day. And then what happens? The judge, as a judge would do in virtually any case like this, would stay or tell the defendant, you don't have to go to prison if, in fact, that's what the sentence is. I will not execute whatever the sentence is. Could be probation, maybe a fine, maybe some other things.
Community service.
Whatever the judge may impose at that time, the judge has the complete capacity to say, that's my judgment. I'm concluding my involvement in this as a sentencing judge. Now you're going up on appeal. If you'd like to do that, Donald Trump will. Mm-hmm. And while that appeal is pending, Judge Merchan can and should have said, while that appeal is pending, nothing about my sentence will go into effect. That can be stayed for the coming year while the appeal goes ahead before the New York Appeals Court, before the next year while it goes in front of the New York Supreme Court. And indeed, if at some point down the road the United States Supreme Court decides to exercise jurisdiction, wants to grant a writ of certiorari, getting us well into maybe a third year, which is a long period of time, all that can happen. All that can happen while what? Well, Donald Trump is the president of the United States of America.
Yes.
And he can be represented not by the attorneys he's now appointing to be in the Department of Justice, but by other attorneys who can pursue that appeal on his behalf. Will not in any way obstruct the conduct of the presidency. Maybe they need to consult with him. But an appellate process does not require the defendant to be present at the appellate argument, at the filing of documents, of the briefs, those kinds of things. And so this notion that somehow this is going to affect the future presidency is exactly what Tim Snyder railed against when he talked once again about anticipating the future and obeying in advance, anticipating something that will happen, and therefore teaching power what it can do. That's the Timothy Snyder problem with all of this. Instead of doing that, what Juan Merchan did was equally stunning. He said, you know what, I'm not deciding anything related to immunity, and I'm taking that November 26th sentencing date off the calendar, and I'm doing nothing. I'm imposing no future scheduling deadlines, and in fact, he said nothing when he did all of this. He also received a letter from the district attorney, Alvin Bragg. Here's what Alvin Bragg said. He said, the people deeply respect the office of the president, are mindful of the demands and obligations of the presidency, and acknowledge that defendant's inauguration will raise unprecedented legal questions. What are those? I don't know. He also said, we also deeply respect the fundamental role of the jury in our constitutional system. And yes, indeed, that's Alvin Bragg saying to you, we have gone down this road. A jury threatened during the course of these proceedings, devoted weeks of their lives, court staff, witnesses, the entire mechanism of the judicial system contributed to this result. And now what we do in America, after you are done with that, after a jury does its duty, either acquitting a defendant, maybe sometimes hanging, not coming to a verdict, but in this case, finding the defendant guilty, what do we do in America? All of us know. It's the S word. We sentence, right? And you can do that at any time now. You've got sufficient time. You have had sufficient time since July 11th, since September, and since these days right now. Interestingly, here's the way that the New York Times posted on this particular conundrum. It is curious. The New York Times, I generally regard with great regard and respect. Here's what they said. The district attorney has limited and unappealing options for responding to this request from the defense for the dismissal of the case. They wrote this. He could have either dropped the case, a move that would have voided the jury's verdict, probably alienating, as they said, many people, absolutely right, or suggested some way to pause it, potentially intensifying Donald Trump's ire and drawing some legal challenges. Well, members of the New York Times who wrote that, there's a third option. It's the normal one. It's the traditional one. It's the one that's contemplated by New York procedure, federal procedure, every procedure in the criminal courts of America, and that is to sentence a defendant in a timely fashion. We've now waited 6 months, and that is why this is so very upsetting. And that is why one has to wonder out loud, what is going on here? Why is it that this has happened? Why is it that Judge Juan Merchan did not simply make the decision that I'm going to bring this to conclusion? Donald Trump, you can appeal me on all of this, including the trial, jury selection, evidentiary rulings, but I'm going to conclude this now before Donald Trump takes the oath of office. We'll talk more about that and talk about the other cases also affected by the Supreme Court ruling and by this continuing sense of a need to defer and to bring all these to conclusion as Amicus, a law review, continues.
Listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. SkyRizzy, risankizumab rizza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to SkyRizzy. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizzy, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about SkyRizzy today and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKY-RIZZY to learn more.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is Amica Solaro. My name is Jim Santel. Thank you for joining me in our weekend broadcast. Also joining Jess, my terrific producer, as we talk and try to make sense of what's going on in America. The administration of justice, at least in the Manhattan courtroom, but also at least 3 other courts around the country, which we will get to. The prosecution saying by virtue of this letter to Juan Merchan that there are some competing interests here. The jury's verdict on the one hand and the office of the presidency on the other hand, effectively bringing politics inside the courtroom. And the question that we ask is what competing interests? Only in the narrowest sense, because, of course, elections and jury verdicts, both essential parts of our rule of law system, both essential parts of our democracy, they can stand apart. One does not supersede or replace the other. There is instead the court's basic duty to uphold the integrity of our criminal justice system, the rule of law, an obligation, I would argue, that is more important now than ever. More practically, why, as many people have argued, should any citizen put up with the sacrifices of service on a jury if the verdict in the end will mean nothing and will be subordinated to the defendant's convenience, even if that defendant happens to be the president of the United States of America? In the wake of that kind of common sense argument, the DA in this case has instead proposed not the normal and traditional sense of going ahead with sentencing. Instead, they have raised the prospect of a 4-year freeze, F-R-E-E-Z-E, a freeze, as a preferable alternative to a dismissal. Defense obviously wants this case to go away completely. Alvin Bragg comes back and says, no, it doesn't have to be dismissed. Let's simply freeze it until 2029. Highlighting the need, as Alvin Bragg said, to balance these competing constitutional interests and failing to define exactly what those are. Well, let's think about that once again. 2029, then we postpone all of this until 2029. And after Donald Trump finishes his next term as the president, at that point, this case can return to Juan Merchan 4 years later and be sentenced, be the subject of a sentencing proceeding at that time. In the wake of that, then all of the appellate rights attached to Donald Trump through his counsel, who again cannot be, attorneys who are also now inside the Department of Justice. And at that point, 2029 becomes 2030 on appeal. And that becomes 3031 going up to the New York Supreme Court and maybe to the United States Supreme Court, just maybe in 3032.
Wow. And if my math is right here, and now I know they say don't do math on the radio, but that puts Donald Trump at the age of 82 when he leaves the White House. Meaning sentencing could now be taking him up to the age of 86.
That's the math that I follow, too. I'm not good at math, as you know. But it seems to me that that is also a consideration, right? And it underscores the overall broad perspective that justice should be expedited to the extent it can be.
On behalf of whom? On behalf of the defendant. Defendants in the federal system, the state system, they have a right to a speedy disposition of the charges brought against them by the government. And yes, indeed, the people of the nation, yes, the people of the state have a right to some expedited resolution.
Well, this is why we have this saying that I believe you brought up when you joined us on the Dom Salvia show. Justice delayed is justice denied, especially in a case like this, where justice keeps getting kicked further and further down the road, because we see that that is the pattern that happens. It's not that justice is delayed for a day. Justice is delayed indefinitely.
Indefinitely. And the stunning part of that indefiniteness is that in taking all of this off of his calendar, for reasons that have prompted me to be scratching my head these days, Juan Marchand has not given us a reason. Previously, he told us that the reason for his delay was because of the Supreme Court opinion. We get that. In September, he said, well, gee, now we're in the middle of a campaign. And now we just took it off his calendar. Presumably, he's looking. He's looking to the fact that this defendant, this extraordinary defendant, will soon be the president of the United States of America, again, running afoul of what Timothy Snyder tells us in not anticipating the future. When you adapt your policies, your procedures, your behavior, you are teaching power what it can do. That authoritarianism, if it comes, is freely given, is freely given. In this case, I would offer, as much as I respect Judge Juan Marchand, he's an outstanding jurist, as much as I respect Alvin Bragg, who has brought this case against all odds, in this particular instance, they are running afoul of that notion that justice delayed is justice denied. And by obeying in advance, you are compromising those fundamental rule of law principles. That happened just this past Tuesday. We do not know. The case is still pending. We do not know what will happen in the next 58 days or so, or even beyond that. Presumably, Judge Juan Marchand will choose between these two alternatives. The two alternatives are which are either dismissing the case outright before sentencing, rendering that jury verdict completely irrelevant.
Hey.
Or he'll do this other very peculiar thing, the Alvin Bragg freeze. Mm-hmm. And we'll extend all of this. We'll put this file on the shelf for the next 4 years and then resume actions in 2029.
Do you think that there is any chance at all, that Judge Marchand will actually say, no, we are going to do a speedy, we've been dragging our feet, but
yes,
now
right,
we will have a speedy disposition of justice. Now we will have a quick sentencing, sentence him to 30 days.
Right. Do something,
do
right? Sentence something to close this case out. The answer is yes. You'd like to think that Judge Marchand, he is a bright guy. He's a good jurist. He knows what he's doing. He presided over this trial with great experience and great capacity. And there's no question about that. My guess is he is doing some head scratching of his own right now, wondering what to do, but hopefully also recognizing that he's got three choices, these two bad choices, and he's got the third choice, which is the normal one.
Yes.
And maybe, Jess, we can be broadcasting about this in the future and saying, indeed, justice, although delayed, was not denied here. And again, the disposition of this case can go forward even during the days, weeks, months, and years ahead of this presidency without compromising in anything related to some unprecedented legal questions about which the district attorney speaks. That result, that Tuesday surprise, if you will, was joined by other things that we've talked about in the past. We know the federal cases, especially running afoul of that notion of not obeying advance. The federal cases, that is the Mar-a-Lago case, the documents case, and also the federal insurrection case, that is in Washington, D.C. In both of those, as we know well, the special counsel has moved the court to suspend everything, take the deadlines off, and indeed both courts reviewing those cases have done just that. When we come back, we'll talk more about, again, the imposition of resolution in these cases and the notion that justice can, in fact, be accomplished in the future as Amicus continues.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The Trump administration flying through its key administration picks, 20 names so far, but none yet checked out by the FBI. That's the usual procedure, ABC's Mary Alice Parks.
Even some Republican senators are starting to say they really think that these nominees still need to go through that traditional process, and that not that's everyone at the cabinet level, let alone everyone else that might be coming into the White House to some of the lower posts. A lot of senators are starting to raise the alarm that they want them to get the traditional security clearances still, too.
A higher than usual number of rocket attacks from Hezbollah into Israel today, at least 6 people injured. This on the heels of Saturday's Israeli strike in central Beirut, which killed 20 and injured 66 people. Russia is granting debt forgiveness to army recruits to bolster its ranks in Ukraine, where nearly 3 years of war have strained resources and available personnel. Game show host Chuck Woolery, first host of Wheel of Fortune, best known for Love Connection, has died. He was 83. This is ABC News.
Over 100 years of serving Southwest Wisconsin, all of us at Jones Chevrolet.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer to the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it! Sam Decker. Bo Ryan will win for the 300th time as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. Stamps off another three. Book it. Oh, my goodness. Don't wake him up. Greg Kaminsky, a single game school record, 43 points.
I can't believe I'm going to say it, but here it comes. The Wisconsin Badgers are going to the Final Four.
Badger basketball is on the air. Today's game is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Fabic Rents, for all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. And by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Welcome to the Badger Shoot-Around.
Good afternoon from the historic Greenbrier Resort in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia. The 19th-ranked Wisconsin Badgers are 6-0 for the first time in 10 years and are putting their unbeaten streak on the line against the Pitt Panthers out of the ACC. Pitt is also 6-0. It's a battle of the unbeatens in the championship game of the inaugural Greenbrier tip-off here in the wonderful mountains of West Virginia. Great to be with you for this tilt between the ACC and the Big Ten. Alongside Big Ten champion Brian Butch, I'm Chris Vosters, filling in for Matt LePay on Badger basketball this weekend. Butchie, this is the best game objectively in college basketball today between Pitt and Wisconsin, two teams that are shaping up to look like NCAA tournament teams here in November.
Well, there's no question about that, and we've had some good games. Maryland had a tight one today. Rutgers goes down to Kennesaw State today as well. But this right here, if you're a college basketball fan, and it always delivers, you just have to pay attention to it, even on a football Sunday. This is the best game in all of college basketball. And again, it's because you look at what Pitt does so well. They got three guards that are ultra-aggressive. Defensively, they're into you. They're tough-minded. And you look at this Wisconsin team, they want to score the ball a little bit more than what they were used to. They're shooting threes. But this is still a tough-minded team that follows their rules and is disciplined as well. So it's going to be a really good battle between two teams that know who they are. You're going to see who comes out ahead. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a fantastic one.
We are just getting started on the Badger shoot-around, counting down to tip-off between Wisconsin and Pitt. First time these two teams have met in almost 9 years. Coming up, we'll visit with Jesse Temple of The Athletic. That's next. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
Over 100 years of serving Southwest Wisconsin, all of us at Jones Chevrolet are honored to continue the tradition. We love to help you choose a new Chevrolet. We love to help with maintenance, repairs, and accessories, too. Schedule a service appointment, see our inventory, connect with a sales professional, and get pre-approved for competitive financing at JonesChev.com. Come see the exciting new Chevrolets. Jones Chevrolet, over 100 years of being your Chevy truck headquarters. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Go Badgers, go Packers, go to McFarland's.
Sorry, I got on a roll. But if you want to put points on the board, it's hard to go wrong when you pass, kick, or just run into McFarland's. With tires, hardware, ag machinery, and power equipment sales, parts, and service, chainsaws, snowblowers, RTVs, as well as rental equipment for projects and parties, well, it's a no-brainer touchdown to shop here at McFarland's, 780 Carolina Street, one block south of Highway 12 in Sauk City.
Memorial Day weekend is around the corner, and the weather is perfect for planting. Whether it's tomatoes or cucumbers, petunias or cosmos, you'll find an outstanding selection of vegetable plants and flowers at the Winter Greenhouse. Join many enthusiastic gardeners and get prepared for an inspiring summer by visiting Winter Greenhouse. Visit this Memorial weekend, open 7 days a week from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. 2 miles north of Winter off County Highway W.
Attention farmers and folks in need of quality supplies. Engine Creek Farm Store has got you covered. Located at 11678 Yuba Drive, Hillsboro, Wisconsin, Engine Creek Farm Store is your local oasis for all things farm and machinery supplies. From essential tools to supplies that keep your farm running smoothly, they've got it all. And guess what? Engine Creek Farm Store goes beyond the farm. You can also pick up some rugged clothes and boots for those hardworking days. Give them a call at 608-528-4001.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Badger pregame show. We're joined, as always, by Jesse Temple, Badgers beat reporter for The Athletic. Jesse, thanks so much for joining us on a busy weekend for Wisconsin sports with both the basketball team and the football team in action. But let's go back to Badger basketball's win over UCF at the Greenbrier tip-off, a really impressive performance for Wisconsin. They never trailed in the game. It was a wire-to-wire win over UCF. What stood out to you about the Badgers' performance to improve to 6-0?
Well, it's the same thing that stood out here early in the season, the scoring ability of this team, that they can play at any pace, but they love to get up and down. And this is a team that now has scored at least 79 points in its first six games for the first time in program history. So that is most notable from a team perspective. But the individual performances that they're getting, Nolan Winter looks so much stronger and more comfortable as a sophomore. And the lift they're getting from Kamari McGee, obviously John Tanji. So they're getting it from everywhere. And that, I think, is going to be one of the greatest strengths for the team this season.
I agree. And you know, it was John Blackwell that finished as the team's leading scorer, but he's done that already this season, of course. But I think the Badgers now have had four different leading scorers through the first six games of the season. And that's, I think, another reason why you're seeing this team score so many points. It's because of how balanced they are. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It certainly doesn't hurt to get a guy like John Tanji out of the transfer portal who can instantly become your leading scorer. But John Blackwell has taken, we talk about Nolan Winter taking a big leap from freshman to sophomore year. So is John Blackwell. The way he can handle the ball, the confidence that he has, the number of ways he can score. Max Klesman, I think, just needs to get as many shots up as possible to get hot. I love the phrase, shoot till you're hot, shoot till you're not. It's one of my all-time great mottos. And I think Max sort of embodies that, but you've got him, and we haven't even mentioned Stephen Crowell, who certainly can take advantage of mismatches in the post. So it's a very solid lineup all the way around, and I think Greg Gard couldn't be, I mean, there's always things you want to work on, but certainly couldn't be happier about the hot start they've had.
I want to go back to, you mentioned Kamari McGee, and what a spark he gave the Badgers off the bench in the first half on Friday night. You know, it was early enough in the game where, although Wisconsin never trailed, they hadn't really taken control of the game yet. And I thought Kamari McGee came in, hit the first three-pointer of the ball game for Wisconsin. And at that point, the Badgers really, really settled in. You know, there are a lot of new faces on this team and a lot of players that are stepping into larger roles. But here's Kamari McGee, a senior in his third year with the program. What have you seen him provide in terms of his presence both on and off the court?
I think I've been most surprised by the scoring presence that he's added. He did have 14 points against UCF. When I was watching him in some of the practices in the preseason, it was very clear at that point that he was going to be the first point guard that they were going to use. Now, obviously, they start with John Blackwell on Klesman, but in terms of kind of true point guard, that he was the first option. But a lot of that had to do with the hustle and the defensive effort, and I didn't know what he would give them offensively. And though it doesn't necessarily happen every game, he's been so efficient. He's shooting almost 54% from three and almost 60% from the field. So he's been able to pick and choose his spots and give this team a tremendous lift off the bench.
And the assist totals for Wisconsin were another part of the UCF game that really stood out to me. Over 20 assists, which is just the ball movement was pristine. And I think that's another thing that has impressed me about the way in which Wisconsin is scoring 80 points per game, because you look at the UCF game, they were 10 of 31 from 3-point range. Okay, that's not bad, but it's also not like they were shooting the lights out necessarily. So it's a team that's scoring in multiple ways. It's not like they're just getting hot from 3-point range every night.
Yeah, they're averaging 16 assists per game. And just for comparison, their opponents are averaging just under 10. And that speaks to why they've been able to have so much offensive success. I've talked before about this ball screen continuity offense they implemented when Kirk Penny got here last year. In talking to the coaches here this season, that has been very beneficial for them, because what they want to be able to do off a ball screen, if ball handler has it, they want them to be able to make one hard dribble off a screen and then make a decision. And I think that really keeps defenses on their toes and allows the ball to keep moving. And that's why they've been able to have so much success.
Jesse, thanks so much for doing this. A busy weekend for everyone covering Wisconsin athletics. But let's hope the Badgers get it done and win the inaugural Greenbrier tip-off against Pitt today. Really appreciate it. That's Jesse Temple of The Athletic. We'll be back for more of the Badgers pregame show after this. Time for our Badger Spotlight when we return. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance, from the volleyball court to the hockey rink. Every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
Hi, Mark and Sarah Tauscher here. We are teaming up with American Family Insurance for yet another season of giving.
Together, we're raising funds for American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. Every dollar goes towards purchasing therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients.
This year, American Family Insurance is matching all donations up to $50,000. So help us support this critical program for children and their families.
Let's gift joy, lift spirits, and deliver happiness.
Learn more at amfamforkids.org.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
Wisconsin is home to some of the best educators in the country. The Outstanding Educator Program is brought to you by WEA Member Benefits, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Throughout the season, we are honoring incredible educators who go above and beyond for their students and communities. Do you know an educator who deserves the spotlight? Nominate them today at uwbadgers.com/outstandingeducator. That's uwbadgers.com/outstandingeducator. Because great educators make Wisconsin proud.
Hey Badger fans, Tony Drake with Drake & Associates, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. How do you prepare for the big game? You strategize, right? Well, retirement is your ultimate big game. And without a solid plan, it's like stepping onto the court without practice. But here's the game changer. Claim your retirement ready toolkit for free from Drake & Associates. Just text Bucky to 262-600-2782. That's Bucky to 262-600-2782. Our Retirement Ready Roadmap is your playbook for financial success. Let's slam dunk your retirement goals together, because at Drake & Associates, we're your winning strategy for a financial game plan.
Drake & Associates is an independent investment advisory firm that offers different investment vehicles. All insurance products are backed by the issuing insurance company. This commercial is provided for informational purposes only.
It's time for our Badger Spotlight, and we're thrilled to be joined by Badgers assistant coach Lance Randall. Coach, thanks so much for doing this. I know you had the scout for today's opponent, Pitt. Looking at the college basketball landscape, this is the best matchup, I think, in college basketball today. What jumped out to you about Pitt when you were scouting him?
Well, I think their toughness and their completeness on both sides of the ball. I think those inside the basketball world know the Ken Pom ratings, and they're inside out of the top 20 in both offense and defense, and that's a really difficult to do. So teams tend to be really good offensively or really good defensively and maybe struggle on the other side of the ball. The elite teams are great at both, and they look to be an early season elite team, and it's a great challenge for us, no question.
So when you're scouting a team that looks good on the screen and looks good in the metrics like Ken Pom and things like that, as a coach, are you excited about that? Does that fire you up, or are you like, oh shoot, we're in for a battle today?
No, it's exciting for us. We want to play great competition. That's what great programs do, and our team is full of competitors. You know, starting with Coach Gard and going all the way through all the players, all the way down to even our managers are competitive. but it's also important, obviously, putting together an NCAA tournament resume to play good competition. That's has been well documented. So, and these guys, they're a high level. I don't know what they were picked in the ACC, but I'm sure they're a top three team in the ACC. Just looking at them, they're going to be an NCAA, as long as they stay healthy. They're not overly deep, an NCAA tournament team. Three very dynamic guards. I mean, the point guard has been projected a lottery pick, and then you have Leggett, who was sixth man in the ACC last year and preseason all conference ACC. And then Dunn, transfer from Houston, was a double-digit scorer for 3 years at Temple before that. And so those guys can put the ball on the floor. They get to the free throw line. And then they have a dynamic five, Corin, transfer from Florida State, and then a seven-foot shooter, Diaz. They're not deep off the bench. I think that's one area they're vulnerable to. The other day they got in a little foul trouble. Dunn got in foul trouble and barely played against LSU. They only bring two guys off the bench, but one of them they bring off is Austin, and he's leading the ACC in shot blocks. They list him as 6'7", but he may be 6'6" in his shoes, and he just flies around top five in the country in shot blocks. You know, they're a very complete, well-coached team. It'll be a great challenge.
Lance Randall, Badgers assistant coach, is joining us. Very thorough scouting report, Coach. We appreciate it. You enjoying this tournament on the personal side of things? I know you got your son Rocco here with you. It looks like he's having a blast.
Yeah, no, my kids. I've got three of my kids here and my wife, and we're it's a unique setting. I mean, it's just very and having the holiday setting is, I think, adds a nice touch to it. But it's a great tournament, great competition. They've been InterSport's been incredible hosts, and we're looking forward to competing in the championship game.
Well, appreciate your time today and good luck.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
That's Lance Randall, part of our Badger Spotlight. And we'll be back with more on the Badgers pregame show. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Hear your favorite Wisconsin Badger sports broadcast right here on WRCE.
This holiday season, the Richland Locker welcomes you home. Step in for the finest selection of turkeys, hams, savory snacks, hearty sausages, and your favorite beverages. Discover the in-store specials designed to make your deer hunt and Thanksgiving truly unforgettable. And while you're there, visit their holiday section, where tradition meets taste, and let Richland Locker be part of your holiday memories.
Wisconsin's forest landowners cut timber from their land for a variety of reasons. The timber is mature. Some plan a harvest as part of their management plan. For others, the harvest may be a salvage operation in response to an unexpected natural disaster, such as a fire or windstorm. Landowners have trusted Meister Log & Lumber since 1936. Give professional timber manager Toby Witkowski a call at Meister Log & Lumber at 608-434-4413 today.
Tackle your next project with ease with Napa's Milwaukee line of tools. Heated jackets, vests, tool accessories, power tools, lighting, hand tools, storage, batteries, chargers, and so much more from Milwaukee and Napa. Milwaukee Tool has led the industry in developing innovative tools and worksite solutions. The most respected manufacturer of heavy-duty power tools, hand tools, instruments, and accessories. Milwaukee Tools in Napa, the perfect team, striving to make your days easier.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Badgers pregame show. We are counting down to tip-off between Wisconsin and Pitt in the championship game of the inaugural Greenbrier tip-off in West Virginia. Badgers come in ranked 19th on the season, 6-0. Pitt is 6-0 as well and receiving votes in the AP Top 25. It's time for Brian Bush's notebook, and it's interesting when you look at Pitt, Bushy, because they're outside of the AP Top 25, but other metrics, specifically KenPom, really like this Pitt squad. They're ranked 13th in KenPom's rankings. And with all due respect to Arizona, a top 10 team on the AP side of things that Wisconsin already beat, this might be the toughest matchup of the season for Wisconsin against Pitt today.
I think you're right. When you look at it, offensively, they're ranked 21st. Defensively, they're ranked 11th. Wisconsin, when you look at where they're ranked defensively, 77th. Now, that's the question that we have with this team is, we know they're scoring. Can they get enough stops? Can they lock in when they have to? And the Arizona game was very choppy. However, this last game against UCF, the way that they guarded, was really impressive. As we're sitting here watching UCF right now, they've got 66 points on the board already, scoring at will. Well, they weren't able to do that against this Wisconsin team. So I think there's growth, and that's what this team has done a lot of, is grow. But this by far is going to be their toughest test as far as what they do, what Pitt does, and how they go about it. Offensively, they're going to do a lot of ball screen action. They're going to get into a lot of slower paced actions, flex cuts, different things like that. And now, because of that, those actions that Pitt is doing, all that takes is communication. So is Wisconsin going to be able to communicate during those actions, the ball screens, the flex? If they don't, they're going to give up layups. If they do, they should be just fine. But that's what we're going to see play out in front of us, and it's going to be really, really interesting. Now, the physicality also is going to play a factor in this game.
Again, both teams undefeated, both teams 6-0. And Pitt is blowing their opponents out of the water through six games. Their average scoring margin is plus 25.6. They've won every game by double figures. They're shooting over 50% from three-point field goal range this season. However, they really haven't played anybody that tough. Wisconsin is going to be Pitt's toughest opponent so far this season as well.
Well, we've talked about the metrics. One of the reasons the metrics like them so much is because they have blown teams out. And that's how that plays out. So you look at this and I think it's a great test for both teams to see where they really are and what they really do. And overall, you can take all the metrics you want. In the end, you've got a group that both sides, they have some experience. They've got guys that have been through the battles, ACC, Big Ten. Like, this is a matchup that you want. If you're a great guard and staff, you wanted a good matchup against a UCF team, you got that. You got an answer. Now you've got another really good test to figure out where your team is. As you head into a stretch, we're going to play some really tough teams.
I'm hanging on to every word you're saying, Bushy. I really am. But I got to admit, it's a little distracting when you've got a game going on in front of us. That's the case here with Pitt.
And it turned out really good.
That's right. LSU and UCF playing in the consolation final of the Greenbrier tip-off. Currently 68-62. UCF has led virtually the whole game, but LSU is closing fast with 4 minutes to go. Much more to come as we count down to tip-off in the championship game here at the Greenbrier Resort, known as America's Resort. But the Badgers are taking over the Greenbrier this weekend. Already a lot of red in the stands here inside Colonial Hall, this temporary basketball venue played inside a ballroom, a really unique spot to watch the Badgers. More of the Badgers pregame show is coming up. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
In the game of life, every moment counts. Every decision matters, and every choice can make a difference between winning and losing. At Cleary, we understand the importance of a strong foundation, whether it's a gym, a community center, or a place for your business to grow. We build your dreams. So whether you're building a foundation or creating a legacy, your vision is our mission. Cleary Building Corp, since 1978. Explore clearybuilding.com today.
Hi, Mark and Sarah Tauscher here. We are teaming up with American Family Insurance for yet another season of giving.
Together, we're raising funds for American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. Every dollar goes towards purchasing therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients.
This year, American Family Insurance is matching all donations up to $50,000. So help us support this critical program for children and their families.
Let's gift joy, lift spirits, and deliver happiness.
Learn more at amfamforkids.org.
It takes hard work to be the best in the game. Planning. Commitment, resilience, sweat. That's why Old Dominion Freight Line, the number one national LTL carrier for quality, works hard to be the best in the game and is proud to support those striving to be the best in theirs. Old Dominion Freight Line, official freight carrier of Wisconsin Athletics, helping the world keep promises.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober.
Or get pulled over.
Together, we can save lives.
Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
Hey, Badger fans. Fall is here, and you know what that means. Chilly days are just around the corner. Don't let the cold catch you off guard. That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems. Ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Welcome back inside Colonial Hall, inside the historic Greenbrier Resort. It's been the Badgers' home this weekend as they get ready to play the second of two games in the Greenbrier tip-off. The championship game coming up against Pitt, tentatively scheduled for 5:35 p.m. Eastern time, 4:35 p.m. local time, depending on how things play out in the consolation final between LSU and UCF. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Badger Basketball from Learfield.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
Butchie, it's great to be with you this weekend. A Badger tradition, these Thanksgiving, or in this case, pre-Thanksgiving holiday tournaments. Badgers have done something like this 17 of the past 19 seasons, and they've won six of these tournament championships in that span. So chance to add to that total today with a win against Pitt.
Well, it is, and the reason it's so good is it gets your season going. You play a lot of mid-majors early on. Obviously, Greg's done a good job of scheduling some home and homes, Tennessee last year, Arizona this year. But this is a event, whatever one it is, this one's the Greenbrier Tipper, where you get to come compete, play against other high-level competition. And then on top of it, you get to play for a championship. And I don't care if it's the Greenbrier tip-off or whatever opportunity. As in a competitor, you're trying to win everything you play. So this is another opportunity for these guys to go win a championship. Again, it's not the NCAA tournament. It's not Big Ten championship. But it's another chance where they got a chance to compete, and you walk away with a championship, or could walk away with a championship.
A big building block win here in late November. What's been your favorite part about the Greenbrier Resort?
Well, everything's been beautiful. We did the bunker tour yesterday, got out, played a little round of golf. I did, and everyone looked at me like I was nuts, but we were able to get out, golf a little bit, which was fun. Course is amazing. Absolutely love that. But I just think the place in general is it's awesome. You know, you'd look at just the history that's there. You look at the way you're treated when you walk in the place. It's a really unique place that I didn't think I'd ever be, you know, go to. But I've loved every minute of it. Yourself?
It's been great. Yeah. And I love the bunker tour as well. Maybe the most unique aspect of this historic venue is that one wing of the hotel is built on top of a bunker that was dug and constructed during the Cold War in the event of a nuclear fallout. This would have been the gathering place for all 535 members of the United States Congress.